to get together, every time we get together and worship, something happens. Amen. You never waste time gathering together in the name of Jesus Christ to lift up his name and to praise him, glorify him, worship him, and hear the word of God, you know, and fellowship together. Every time we get together, something happens. Something beneficial happens. Amen. Something good happens in the spirit. And that's where we want to occupy, in the spirit realm, in the invisible realm. When the whole world is partying on, we want to stay with God, eh? Because that's where the blessings of God breaks open. And I pray that God will encourage us today with his word. I felt the Lord really laid this word on my heart to encourage you, encourage me as we walk with God, so that, you know, all that the Father has for us, we will be able to march into it and not get discouraged, not get knocked out of the race that we are in. So let's pray. And I want to share real brief summary version of Romans 8 with you. Is that okay? Everybody knows Romans 8? Is anybody unfamiliar with Romans 8? Probably none. Everybody read through at least a few times and trying to get into it. I don't think I'm going to be sharing whole lot of new stuff, but I want to highlight some things and encourage you from this wonderful chapter, which is a jewel of, I think, you know, of the love of God expounded in the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we open up our heart, Father, to receive your love that you have for us. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon every one of us, illuminate our spirit, our soul, our mind with your word, Lord. I pray that your light will enter in to our being and darkness will be cast out in the name of Jesus. Your courage will move in. Discouragement will move out. Father, that your love will move in and fear will move out, Father God. And Lord, we thank you. Lord, as your word says, Lord, that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. 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 All right. Romans 8. I'm not sure if we can read the whole thing because of time, but I will read a few verses here and there and highlight some things. And I hope with the notes you can read through again and let God speak to you, because you can never read too much of any part of the Bible, especially Romans 8. Even though you know stuff, I pray that God will make it like a living water that we can drink so that we can be washed and be strengthened. Okay, Romans 8. He says, there is, are you there? Romans 8, verse 1. Romans 8, verse 1. Let's read together. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that, it was weak through the flesh. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is, let's say, life and peace. Let's say together, life and peace. Amen. Because the carnal mind is enmity with God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be, but then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But, this is a good part, you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he's not his, but if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit of life, spirit is life, because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the spirit who dwells in you. Amen. I mean, this is so packed. It's very, very, you know, it's like as you read quickly, we kind of get lost in so many concepts there. But let's go towards the end. And let's read verse 31 through to 39. And then I'm going to cover the rest in between. Okay, that's verse 31. Okay, let's read together. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Whoa, it's powerful, powerful chapter. I want us to really get grounded in here, and I want to entitle, I guess, my talk as Closing the Gap. Closing the Gap. Okay, let's say, close the gap. Close the gap. There is a kind of a, you know, we become Christian, and most of us have become Christian for some time, and we experience burst of life and joy. Power of sin is shrunk, darkness is gone. Suddenly, you know, all the struggle and guilt, shame is gone, and love of God pours into our heart, and we begin a new life, and we turn a new leaf, and wow, praise God. And we learn, there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Chapter 8 is the life in the Spirit. And the door into the life in the Spirit is that we come to a place where there is no one, including myself, condemning me for bad performance or my past, my sins, guilt, shame. It's all gone. And we say, wow, there is no condemnation. I'm free and joyful. And then we read, you know, the end of the chapter, and they say, yes, there's a victorious life in Christ. There is a life of joy, life of peace, life of, you know, life of victory. It says, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. No one and nothing can separate us from the love of God. We learn that. But as we walk, something happens, right? We find gap between Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation. No condemnation. All my guilt is gone. My sin is gone. And I'm free in the Spirit. And then there is a gap between there and I am more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. And I find that, something funny is happening. There is a gap. Gap between my confession, no condemnation, and not quite overcoming, right? Not quite conquering my fear, my anger, envy, jealousy, you know, all kinds of things come in and feel like, well, what's wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Something wrong. I've been taught there is a new life. I tasted new life, but the new life seems to seep away slowly from my fingers. And I feel I am losing this inner battle from inside of me. And even though I keep saying there is no condemnation, I feel condemned because I feel I fail. And I fail again. And I fail some more. And you get up and you have another go. You get up and have another go, and your getting up becomes a little slower. Having another go is a bit questionable, you know. And should I believe this stuff? Is this real? Life in the Spirit. It says, life in the Spirit is what? It says, life and peace. Are you enjoying life in Christ? Is life of Christ real to you? In a fight that is going on inside, can we say we are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us? Is this your confession of faith? Yes. And then your testimony. Amen. Testimony. There seems to be a gap. Sometimes there's a huge gap. There sometimes you feel like you're doing better. And we are caught in between these two tensions. And many, many sincere Christians caught between this tension don't understand what's going on, what is wrong with me, and are confused and discouraged, fighting discouragement, and wonder if I'll make it as a Christian. Really make it. Because, you know, when you start, you really want to be the best Christian, right? Especially if you're not a, you know, proud of your past. You want to be a best Christian, but you lose faith in yourself whether I'll make it, right? So Paul is telling us, I want to close the gap. How do we close the gap? In between these struggles, how do we close the gap? What's going on inside? Bible tells us what's going on inside. Well, before we became Christian, we were sinners. But we were at least coherent sinners. At least we were consistent. You're consistently sinning, and you know, you're not really guilty about it, right? Unless you're caught. So at least you're consistent. But after we become born again, you know, there's a new nature is birth. It's, oh, I love to please God. I want to be good. I want to be holy. Right? There is a new ambition born. I want to read the Bible. I want to pray. I want to do good. And then there is another nature rises in, and you find yourself in a conflict. You're caught between two tensions of inner being that is spiritual. Wow, I want to pray. I want to know God. I want to love like Jesus. And then when somebody doesn't love you back, there is another nature that rises saying, no, no, you know, this is not right. And, well, what's going on? You know, have you read the book called Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde? You know, it's a good man. Well, more modern version is Mr. Hulk, right? You know, I've been without incident for 60 days. Oh, 70 days he's writing on the wall, but something happens, and then longer he suppresses it, later on he and the whole thing breaks open. I can't control it. And then let's go. And then you start all over again. Is there a real life that we can have in Christ where, is it possible where we can be freer? We break free from the dominion of what Bible says, enemy within, sinful flesh. Bible is describing what's happening is that once you're born again, you've got these two enemies from within. One is called flesh. The other one is called carnal mind. Sometimes it's interchangeable. Flesh is your nature, your flesh that you've inherited from your father, your mother, who wasn't perfect, even though they were good. And we are thankful for our parents. They weren't perfect. And we inherit their anger, their envy. They inherited from their mother and father and from their grandparents and great-great-great all the way back to Adam and Eve who sinned. And we get conceived in sin. Therefore, the sinful nature, you don't have to educate people to sin. They are born and they realize this nature just comes up, right? So you sit down. Don't stand on the chair. You go, inside, I am standing on the chair. Outside, I'm sitting down. This, you know, you put your foot down and they put theirs on top of yours, right? Something comes up. You just, you know, I gotta have my way. That's called flesh. And then there is a carnal mind. This is mind that is learn to think for yourself. Think what's good for me. Think with myself in the center. And we've been programmed. So there is a life in the spirit. Holy Spirit has awakened. Your spirit, holy nature, is crying out to God, I want to be free. I want to live full life in Christ. I want to be holy. And yet, all this stuff that we've learned and accumulated in the past, the way we learn to think, called carnal mind, as well as our Adamic nature, the rebel nature, no one messes with me. Kind of, I am the king, right? It's in direct conflict with each other. So then God says, look, you've just been born again, or you're born again, but you're not really. You're in the process of growing up. It takes time to grow up. So I'm going to help you because there is a pathway, there is a life in the spirit where we truly free and enjoy life, joy, peace, love. And we are giving. We are not self-centered. We are full of power from within. Right? We're not prone to depression. Depression is not new life. We are full of joy and hope and expectation. That flows. There's a two channels that's going on inside. And God is saying, you learn to shut one down. And then you learn to open up and receive from the Spirit. Spirit-controlled life. And then you grow out of all these struggles that you've been having for years. And it does take years and years, but there is a true growth. And Paul is really laying down how we can grow in God. Okay, so God's remedy. What is God's remedy? God's remedy is, can anybody guess the word starts with H and S? Holy Spirit. That's it. In the Old Testament, God gave us what is right and wrong in the law, and people trying to live by the law. And the more you try to live by the law, more hardened you get. Well, what do you learn? Something's wrong with me. I am broken on the inside. So what does God do? Law could tell us what's wrong with us. Holy Spirit is given to us so that when the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood, you know when the tsunami comes? Did you watch I watched the YouTube of tsunami, 2011 tsunami in Japan. Water comes in and huge ship just gets washed away. You know, tons and tons. Cars get flipped over. When the flood of the Holy Spirit comes in, this thing called buoyancy, we get lifted. Whole lot of things get flipped over. Things that you can never move with your physical strength gets just lifted and gets tossed around. And we get lifted beyond the pull of our old nature, flesh. That's why the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit of God all the time. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray without ceasing. That's how you top up. I think Perry was sharing, you know, a few years ago, he said, you know, why do I need to get filled with the Holy Spirit again? Why do I pray again? I prayed yesterday and I got filled. It's because we leak. I get filled and I leak. I have pores in my skin. Leak. So you continually pray and continually be filled. And when the Holy Spirit is flowing through you, all this pull from the flesh, they get weakened. You get lifted above this thing and you flow and float. It's a walking in the Spirit, flowing in the Spirit. The other thing Paul is teaching is that you learn to reshape your mind, reprogram your mind, treat, you know, with the Word of God. Learn to obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. Learn to be led by the Holy Spirit continually. This is something that we, just like, you know, little baby, they don't walk from day one, do they? You got to hold them and, you know, make them jump and make them walk. They think they're walking, but you're really carrying them for a while until they take the first step and learn to walk. They get enough strength. Just like that. Spiritual walk is like that. We got to exercise. It takes time to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit and walk in the Spirit and receive from the Spirit. Continually receive. Open your heart so the Holy Spirit can continually flow into you. And it's not visible, but it's very real. When you open to the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, I need you. I don't depend on myself. You are a person. I can't see you, but you are a person. And without you, I can't. It's impossible to be a good Christian. Impossible to live good Christian life. Impossible. Victorious Christian life. Without the help of the Holy Spirit in every way. So you become conscious. Lord, I yield to you. Ooh, I'm under pressure. Which one? Holy Spirit or me? So this is steps that we can learn. And we are to learn. Amen. Amen. So we got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the key. Now, let me also give you, that's the key, but also a missing key there. Here, it talks about verse 12 to 17. Let's just read verse 12 to 17. It says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. But if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. Amen. Let me say, I believe this has been a missing key, which now many, many ministries are discovering, and they're preaching this. I believe missing key is the spirit of sonship. Spirit of sonship. Because we come to Christ, we want to be a good Christian, and when the Holy Spirit comes into you for the first time, how do you relate to God? You relate to God as, Father. You are good. The whole heaven opens up and the whole heaven comes down and hugs you. You've been through a lot of tears, but I love you. It'll be all right. You know, you make peace with God. And then after you become Christians, now you really want to be a good Christian. So what do? You want to try harder. Try harder. And we begin to rely ourselves. And then heaven seems to go further and further. God seems to be frowning upon our failed attempt to be a good Christian over and over again. And God seems to go further and further away. How do you try? What's happened? What's happened? I believe we got to grow in the spirit of sonship. Do you know that you're sons? Sons and daughters, people say. But I like to just stick with the Bible word sons, whether you're a male or female. Just as church is bride of Christ, whether you're male or female. It's not about gender. Your sons, and we don't quite realize it. Do you have the witness of the Spirit? Okay, last time you felt really bad. You're depressed or you were disappointed from your Christian performance. What witness did you have on the inside of you? Did you witness inside condemn you, Paul? Are you a hypocrite or are you real? Or do you have a witness by the Holy Spirit saying, you are a child of God. You are His. Which witness do you get? This is very crucial witness of the Spirit that we need to have in order to grow. Do you have, when you are in a dark period, when people are mistreating you, you are under stress, do you get a witness in the Spirit? Holy Spirit is speaking to you. You are mine. You are my child. I love you. No matter what, I'm committed to you. Is that the witness that you get from within? No matter what, without. Because if, you know, this is the Spirit that the Holy Spirit can give. Only Holy Spirit can give. But when you have that, see, you are connected. Holy Spirit continue to flow into you because you have the witness of the Spirit. And you cry out when you mess up. What do? When the little child do a poop in the pants, and people go around, go, what do? You go. Do you smell something? And go, excuse me. Or do you say, Abba, Father, I need a poop in my pants. Clean me up. Abba, Father. Little children, I mean, they don't have enough control on their pelvic, you know, muscle or muscles. So as they grow up, they do poop and they do wee and they have accident, especially when they're under stress or when somebody go, woo, get scared, you know, go, ooh, they wet the pants. Or when they get overstimulated, they also wet their pants. So, you know, we are all like children, okay? We haven't really learned how to hold in, okay? Learn how to be toilet trained. And something happens, something gets, you know, somebody jumps on you. Or you get overstimulated or overexcited or something happens and then, you know, you lose control. And if you're connected with the Holy Spirit and are receiving the witness of the Spirit, you're hearing the Holy Spirit saying, it's all right. I love you. You're my child. You will grow. But if you are cut off from the witness of the Spirit, you listen to your own mind, carnal mind. Carnal mind is saying, okay, three strikes off. Deny it. You didn't do it, or you just get hardened and point finger. No, Johnny did it. It's not me. Because of him. Because of her. And this, at that point, it makes all the difference, see? Whether we grow or stay stunted under fear. Spirit of fear is the opposite of the spirit of sonship. Why? You fear God's rejection. You fear God's displeasure. You fear God's wrath. God is angry. He will slap you down because I've done this. So I'm going to run away for about 30 days or for about, you know, 2 weeks. And then after God cools down, I'll come back. See, that's a carnal mind thinking because we are not receiving the witness of the Holy Spirit. You know, what did Jesus hear when he was first baptized in water? He didn't do anything. He didn't work one miracle. Heaven split open, Holy Spirit came down, and what was the voice of God from heaven saying? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What did Jesus do up to this point? Nothing. Carpentry. I'm well pleased. You didn't do any miracle. You didn't even die on the cross yet. You didn't do a thing. And God is saying, I am well pleased with you. Why? Because you're my Son. Because I love you. I am joyful when I look at you. This is a spirit of sonship. This is a witness of the Holy Spirit. This is a key. So often we've missed this key. And therefore it stunted our growth of receiving and flowing in the love of God. We need to expose this lie of who God is. God is love. He really is. Even when we are not doing so well. And we need to connect with him in that basis now. The difference between a son and a dog, you say, I love my dog. Hee, kitty, kitty, kitty. You know, we had a little Chelsea. That's a cat. Kitty, kitty was a dog. Doggy, doggy, doggy. I don't know. Cute, 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 cute. You know, we had a little, we bought little dog because, you know, of our, we wanted Nathan to play with the dog and so on. He didn't look after the dog, so we had to do all the looking after. He named the dog Chelsea because in his class there was a girl called Chelsea. She doesn't know, so she's not offended. Really cute dog, little dog we bought, and we said, oh, so cute, oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. And she does poop. Go away, go away. We said, we'll give it 1 week, 1 week to toilet train. And go, oh, so cute, it did the thing, and go, ooh, 1 week. Clean it up, and, you know, before 1 week was over, we saw poo kind of, you know, because Chelsea knew, we didn't like her doing poo around, you know, she would get into trouble. So what clever dog, learn to go under the table, under the, like, you know, chair in between, you know, sofa, underneath, in the dark corner, under the, you know, the bed, sofa bed, you know, then the bed. She will go in and her business and come out. And then, you know, we flip all these things open, it's everywhere. Go, ah! You know what? Even before 1 week's over, we kicked her out. Okay, now your house shall be outside. We got a little doggy, plastic doggy house. You no more, your dwelling is no more with us, with men. Okay? It's dog. Whereas a son takes so many years. Right? How many times did I change? How many times do you change a nappy to raise a child? But you don't go, oh, beautiful, beautiful, poop. Your dwelling shall be from with Chelsea outside. We used to say, you know, Nathan, daddy is number one in the house. Mommy is number two. You're number three. Chelsea is number four. So you look after her. But there is a huge gulf between number three and number four that he can do poo. He can fall down. He can do all kinds of things. And go, oh, still, oh, my son. Even when your child make a mistake or being naughty, what's your emotion? When your child, you know, I'm talking about a small child, not like fully mature. Your emotion is, ugh, yet there is a lot of joy still holding that smelly son. Or smelly daughter, you still love that thing, you know, that thing that came out of your own DNA. You love it, you know. You want to clean it up, you love it. Even while you're changing the nappy, you can still sing. Oh, you have a lot of joy, don't you? Joy. And, you know, after it's all over, your son or daughter has grown up, you kind of almost miss it. It's a perverse, the smelly thing. You miss it. Like, you know, oh, I can make them smaller. I can change their thing again. And it was good days. Why? I never miss Chelsea pooing around in my house. I'm glad Chelsea's gone. Never once. It's called spirit of sonship. It's love. Our lie is, what is father feel about me when I'm not doing so well? Is he angry? Is he sad? Is he disappointed? Or even though, you know, poo is not pleasant, sin is not good, he doesn't, you know, accept sin, yet he loves us. Not only is he in, he still enjoys us. Now, that's the key. So, okay, when your child is going through rough patch, you have two feelings, not just one. You are sad about the situation, but you know you will, you know, help your child to grow out of it. At the same time, you still have, at the same time, intense joy looking at your child when he is making a mistake. Now, that's our Heavenly Father in far more, 1 million times more of his joy when he looks over you. even when we are not doing so well, do you believe that God is rejoicing over you? He's still happy to see you. He's singing over you. This is very, very important. Spirit of sonship, correcting the wrong image of God. Because often our view of God is angry. He's disgusted. Well, he will forgive because he's God, but he's emotionally detached from me because he's sad or angry. Who wants to talk to someone who is always angry at you or sad or disappointed in you? Always. This is also key to prayer life, deeper prayer life. God is rejoicing over you. This God's emotion is so important. Zephaniah, he says, God is talking about judgment that is going to come to Israel because of their disobedience. Something had to be done. This is a redemptive judgment that will awaken the whole nation to come back to God. But he says this, while he's saying judgment, he says, God is, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. God is singing over you. Singing over me. Amen. Is that real to you? Like when the next time you pray, see, when you struggle sometimes, you got to break through this no condemnation. There's no condemnation, no condemnation, no condemnation. But you still feel condemned. You say it, you know, 200 times until you feel, yes, no condemnation. Who God is? Abba, Father, I smell, change my nappy, I'm in your presence, love upon me, I'll grow out of this. Let God's love flow. Correct view of God. Has God quietened your inner struggle, inner dialogue with his love? Have we become silenced with his love? Come to the place of silence because his love is filling your heart to overflowing. When you come to pray, when you sit to pray or join prayer meetings, we got many prayer meetings, it's a good idea to maybe sit and let his love begin to fill up and begin to well up. And then you can start praying. Your prayer language will be very different. It's not just SOS all the time. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Sometimes I used to feel like that, you know, when I felt like I failed God. I give myself, like, you know, really smart, like Chelsea, I'm out. So I give myself 3 days, you know, even before God, you speak, I know better. I get myself out of the house. You don't even have to say it because I'm grown up. You don't even have to say, out. I'm out. I'm myself out. And then I'll come back maybe when you cool down. Not smart. Not smart. You turn yourself in, God. Turn yourself in, God. You cry out, Abba, Father. There is a deep cry. You let that cry out. See, when you, okay, so, you know, you had a fight with your friend. You come back and you feel really bad. What do? Abba. That should be our first cry. Abba, Father. I feel really envious or something. You come to the room and go, Abba, Father. Let's practice it, okay? Abba, Father. Can you say that? When you feel you're a bit disgusted with you or a bit disappointed, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. And feel his love. And his, not only his love, his joy. Now, this is very different than God saying, condoning the sin. He's saying, well done, do more, do more. No, no, no. He's saying, my spirit will drive out all the darkness as you come to me. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Okay, now, Paul goes on saying, having that spirit of sonship, stay connected. How do we be filled with the spirit? How do we love God? Stay connected with the spirit of sonship. We are not a dog. We're sons. Amen? We're sons. Having connected, he's saying, God is working on something huge. Well, just one more on the spirit of sonship is that you are and I am. Oh, I missed out on the notes, but saying that we are joint heirs with Christ. When you say Abba, Father, he's saying, see, who owns the whole world? Christ owns everything. And he's saying, do you like what you see? It's all yours. Literally, because in your bank account, God has a bank account that owns everything, and he just has snuck your name in there as a joint account holder. That's literally what he says. So when you say, I'm a son, it's not just only that Father forgives you and loves you. He's made all these things, trees, everything you like, you know, the beautiful real estate on top of cliff overlooking the water. You like that? With the sunset, the whole field full of beautiful flowers. He says, all that is yours. You own every piece of real estate in the entire planet Earth with Jesus. He created this world for us. He says, we are joint heirs. Do you believe this? Amen. This is, we come to our inheritance. He says, you are, because you're a son, you have an inheritance. Inheritance is everything that God created. That's yours. It's incredible. And he says, he's doing something. He is not only giving you what he's made, he's recreating everything. He's kicking out the death. He's kicking out all the corruption. You know, process of corruption, sin, death, devil, everything. He's going to make a perfect world. Perfect world. And that's also yours. So you walk around, I mean, you know. Yesterday I was thinking, I sat down and I thought, wow, I like to be, you know, you look at some beautiful computer screen and go, I like that. You know, hey, that's mine. It really is. Really, really is. I'm not going to even look at it because God has created the whole galaxy for his son, and we are all joint heirs. So we don't need to envy anybody. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is saying, now, I am recreating the whole universe for you. I'm reordering everything. But the order is reversed. He says, when God was making this world, he created the world first, light and earth, vegetation, animals and all these things, and he put the man last and put the man on top of the earth in charge of everything. But we know what happened. Man sinned. Everything just flipped. Whole thing shattered. So God is saying, now I'm doing the new thing, but I'm going to do it in the reverse order. Man is still the head of the whole creation. I did it for you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the man first, recreating the man, and then I'm going to recreate the whole new heaven and new earth without sin and death. But this time, it's not going to fall. Why? Because I start with the man first. And he says, I'm going to start with man before I bring in the next age. He says, the whole creation is eagerly waiting for, they are groaning, groaning. Whole creation is groaning. Have you ever felt the whole creation groaning? It's groaning with hope. What are they groaning for? Coming forth of the people of God, sons of God, mature sons of God, who have been grown perfect in the love of God and in their spirit. So they now begin to come forth. And then once it happens, the rest of the world will change. Jesus will come back. That's the mature bride of Christ. Amen. Sons of God will come. In fact, that's the whole reason. Think about this. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. God said, let there be light. There was light. Holy Spirit was hovering on the face of the deep. Powerful, creative Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't enter in his fullness, mankind. We became a living being. At the Pentecost, what happened? That Holy Spirit, who created the whole universe, comes in. creative Holy Spirit comes in. And what's happening now is in you and me, that Holy Spirit, that sonship, we are growing in that sonship. In between this struggle, while we are in the gap between two realities, we are growing in the sonship. So that when we are mature, whole creation will be set free. New heaven and new earth. Therefore, Paul is saying, you know, he says, I don't even compare my present suffering, caught between the two worlds, struggle, huge gap. This struggle, I don't compare, it's a light affliction compared to what God is doing. There's a purpose behind our struggle. Struggle to grow. Struggle to mature in holiness, called the process of sanctification. There is a purpose. Whole creation hangs on it. We think that it's just me. No, whole creation hangs on us growing up, because this creation that's been shattered by sin will never enter into new creation until we enter in first. We enter, we grow in this sonship. So Paul is saying, I don't lose heart. I don't lose heart because my fight, whole creation, whole world, the whole hope pins on my fight, on my struggle, in my growth in God. And he says, in view of this cosmic conflict and priority that is happening within me, he says, I don't give up. I eagerly wait with perseverance what I don't see yet. Because that's what's happening with you. And he says, Holy Spirit is also interceding for you with groanings too deep for words. Amen. He is interceding for you to grow. Continue to grow now. It's not so easy being caught between the two, filling the gap, but we can close the gap. And the Holy Spirit is interceding for you to close the gap. Amen. Amen. And then God promises, look, so long as you don't give up, you work this out, don't give up. Holy Spirit is interceding for you. Whole creation is waiting for you. You are it. You are the focus of what is happening with the new creation. Now, in this life, he's saying, I promise you, God says, whatever you go through in life, whatever that happened to you in the past, I promise you, I'm going to put it together, everything to work together for good if you don't give up. Amen. This is the good news. This is a really good news. Now, I'm going to have to close very soon. I'm going to sort of quickly go through. But Paul says at the end, now, we read that, there are things that he lists, 17 things that he lists that are potential threat to knock us out of this race, knock us out of this place in God. And he's listing all 17. And if you can turn to number 4, safe in unquenchable love of God, 17 things. Let's just read together those 17 things and see if whatever your struggle, challenges you're facing, falls into this category. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness. Well, none of us are suffering from that now, or most of the time. Peril, sword, death, life. Even life. Some people are afraid to live. Even life. Angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height. Depth. Just in case Paul missed out, any other created thing. Any other created thing. Is anything missed out? No. Except God. Yeah? God is the only one uncreated. Any other created. All these things listed out, saying, can they separate us from the love of God? Can they? Can they? Paul says, no, they can't. But there's only one person that is not listed here, and that's One person not listed here, that's me. That's you. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God. But what we can do is under pressure, we can turn our back on the love of God. Turn our back on the love of God. At that point, God's love is not reduced, but you've shut yourself out from this love of God that is the source of life. So if I can just have one liner that we can all remember today, is that when you feel you're not doing well, you fall, or when you feel like, oop, poop, you run to God, not away from God. Now, just on this one lesson, just on this one thing, hangs your life, my life, hangs our future. We run to God, not away from God. He's saying, based on this, he says, I'm not sure if I will make it. Well, he says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If I say, I don't feel my life is anything special, God says, he who did not spare his own son but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Anything, all things that is good, he will not spare. Special. What do I feel? I feel like I'm a hypocrite because I failed 7 times. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. Furthermore, also risen, who is at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Amen. So, we can say with Paul, all these things, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. So how do we are still in the tension because none of us are perfect. None of us are fully, completely grown. You're still here. Your body is here. How do we bridge the gap? You feel the gap is too big. You're going to fall through the crack. How do we bridge the gap? It's the love of God. Love of God, you bridge the gap. You close the gap and you stay in his love and we'll grow. We grow out of a lot of stuff if you allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us, okay? Finally, I want to finish with one question. We're going to pray together. He says, Paul says this to Philippians Christians. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, are you confident? Yes. Perry says yes. Are you confident? Are you confident that God who began a good work in you will complete it? Amen. Let's stand.